Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey queens, welcome back to Confessions of a 30-something Drama Queen, your weekly girl therapy session with me, Susie Bernaldi, a girl who is completely unqualified to be giving any form of therapy, but here we are. Nothing I say is gospel, you do not have to do as I do, you don't have to agree with me, we are all just here to have a good time and get some things off of our chests. Now, in today's episode, I have to be really honest. I am due on. Yeah, that kind of honest. I'm so sorry. I'm due on. I am not functioning mentally. This podcast could get a little bit scatty. I feel so sleepy all the time. The bloat is real. And you know when you're just uncomfortable and you're like, oh my gosh, and now I have to rock up and make sense? But it's fine because we're all friends here. So now you know. So if you are like, what is up with this chick this week? That is what is up. To those of you going through the same thing this week, my thoughts are with you. With that in mind, I've been slothing a fair bit the past couple of days. And do you know what I've been binge watching whilst I've been slothing? I have been binge watching Olivia Atwood's new documentary series. I think it's called The Price of Perfection. Oh my gosh, I have so many thoughts. But my first one being, her stylist has really leveled up this season. I am really enjoying it. I really love when girls that love like full glam kind of looks lean more into the quiet luxury. I think it's a really nice contrast. But also, how many pairs of prescription lenses does that girl have? Because I actually think she's outdoing me at this point, and I thought I had a lot of pairs of prescription glasses. Needless to say, they are all a slay, and I really enjoy the variety. It's really giving. I've been really enjoying watching it. My personal highlight being when someone is having a facelift and she talks about it being stuffed like a pita bread. Honestly, that girl, I actually think she's incredibly underrated for how funny she is. If I could have one guest on this podcast, if I had to pick anybody, I actually think it would be her. If anyone from Olivia's team is listening to this, please, I beg of you, I think that she is wonderful. I would love to have her on the podcast. Though I do have to say, I made the mistake of watching the Bums episode whilst I was eating my dinner. And before anyone judges me too hard for watching TV whilst eating my dinner, because I know some people are like, so antisocial, blah, 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 blah. Ryan was out at football, as per usual, because apparently I'm a wag without the wage packet right now. He loves it. He just loves playing football. But anyway, my point being, do not watch this show whilst eating rigatoni doused in tomato sauce, because the two actually look horrendously. I'm so sorry if any of you are eating right now. The surgeries and the rigatoni actually look a bit too similar. And I was like, wow, you really are making some questionable life choices right now, Suze. And I have to say, although I am the biggest fan of Botox, it's no secret. I have been very honest with that around here. And I've dabbled with fillers, something that I probably won't pick up again until later in my life. I have to be honest. I just don't feel like it's for me right now. I don't actually think it suits my face very much. Whilst I'm clearly not a virgin when it comes to having stuff done to my face, I have to say the doing stuff to your body, I just could never. Like, if you are brave enough to do that, I actually rate it. Not in the sense of like, I encourage everybody to go and do it, but I actually rate the bravery of people going under the knife on their actual bodies and like the lengths that people go to. Because let me tell you, one of my friends the other day was giving me the full details on her C-section. I asked for it. When my friends have babies, I'm like, give me every single detail. Even if you think it's too much, just tell me, because I need to know. And I need to, and especially with C-sections, I don't feel like anyone talks about them in anywhere near enough. And I'm like, I need to know what the like in terms of surgery, as someone that's never had surgery, I need to know what the potential could be, because they happen. Even if you don't really want them to, they happen. Anyway, my friend was telling me about her C-section, and I'm not even joking when I said I was crying. Like I was gagging, I was crying. Honestly, my eyes were streaming. She thinks it's hilarious. I wasn't being rude. She was just telling me some real details, and I was just like, no, no. And I was like crying. Not to scare anyone that's pregnant, I was, as per usual, maybe potentially being slightly overdramatic. However, my point being, I'm crying at my friend's C-section details. I don't know if I'd be brave enough to like take some fat out of one part of my body and put it into like my bum to get a bit more junk in the trunk. Though I say that as a girl that does have a lot of junk in the trunk naturally. So I just couldn't do it. So I actually salute the girlies that can do it. Like my friends that have had boob jobs, I'm like, damn, how are you guys doing this? Like I would be crying. I am a massive baby. We are getting into a slight digression here. This isn't what this podcast was meant to be about, but I'm going to talk about this anyway. Whilst we're on the subject, I really want to talk about Kylie Jenner and the uproar that we're seeing at the moment about her face. Now, for those of you that don't know, she went to Fashion Week, which Kylie Jenner at Fashion Week is one of the highlights of my year. I love it. I don't know why, there's something so magical about her doing Fashion Week. I'm a big, big fan of it. I think, again, it's the full glam girlies doing some real like high fashion, interesting stuff. I love the contrast of the Barbie perfect hair and makeup contrasted with a look that is maybe a little bit different to what we're used to seeing. I am a big fan. Anyway, that is not what I was trying to say. This is my period brain, by the way. We get onto some real tangents. It's wild inside my head right now. But anyway, she steps out at Fashion Week and she's photographed, and all of these images are put online, like lots of unedited images, let's be clear. And you know what? This isn't the first time this has happened, but this is something that I am so sick of, because I'm really seeing a pattern, is people losing their minds every time an unedited image of a Kardashian surfaces. It makes me want to ram my head into the wall repeatedly. Like, of course they don't actually look like how they look on Instagram. Were we all genuinely believing that? Like, please. But anyway, this is, again, not my point. So what people are saying this time around with this unedited photo of Kylie's face is that her face is basically melting and crumpling, and it's because of all of the filler, which I am not saying that it is not. However, I think some people sometimes go a bit too hard and they start analyzing things on people's faces that are actually very normal. And I just need to come out and say it, because actually I am slightly concerned at one of the things that they were picking at, which is very normal. And I am slightly concerned that it might actually spur on a new trend of people trying to erase this from their face, which I don't actually know if it is physically possible. I don't know. On one side of her face, there is an actual like line. I don't know what it is. I've actually never seen something like that before. But on the other side, people are going for what is, I would say quite clearly, if you have dimples on your face, a dimple in her cheek, almost in line with what, like where your under eye skin is. I think in the photo it's on, if you're looking at the photo, it's on the right side. That dimple I also have, and as someone who has never ever had cheek filler in her life, I swear, Bible, Bible. The Kardashian fans will get it. I have never had cheek filler. Some people have suggested I have. Guys, sometimes you just put on a little bit of face weight. I have to be real with you. Sometimes it's not filler. Sometimes someone's just put on some weight. And that's fine. That is fine. We fluctuate. We're human beings. Like, oh, just let it lie, honestly. Anyway, I just want to be real in case there's any other fellow cheek dimple girlies that are watching people pull apart this gorgeous woman's face and then feel bad about the fact that they have a cheek dimple, that people are basically saying like her face is melting, it looks like it's collapsing. Because yes, this dimple is getting more pronounced with age, that's on my face. So I can imagine if other people are seeing them talk about her face in this way and being like, she's aging, blah, 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 talking about her so negatively, how are other girls that also have this dimple on their face going to feel? And I understand if you have a very lovely smooth face and you have no experiences with cheek dimples, you're probably going to think that it is filler. But I just need to be real with you guys. Maybe Kylie's is, maybe it is. But as someone that's got one naturally, just leave people alone. Just leave people alone. Also, The lighting in that photo is terrible, and she has lines around her like mouth, which people are really picking at. That is very normal on anyone's face that I would say is over 25. Like, I really noticed between 25 and 30, my face started to dramatically change. This will be the point where someone tells me that she's actually like 24, but okay, she's 26. I actually think she looks pretty good for 26 compared to a lot of people I went to school with. I say this, I would say I'm slightly more on the baby face side. I probably didn't look the same as her at 26. But everyone is different. Everyone ages differently. But we've now got a lot of people saying, are Gen Z aging more rapidly than millennials? Because millennials and Gen Z all seem to look the same at the moment. But what I will say is a lot of Gen Z are now kind of getting into that point in their 20s where your face does really start to change. It is actually something I really struggled with in my late 20s, was how quickly my face was changing. And it took me a long time to get used to it. However, now it has settled. My skin texture isn't changing constantly like it was when I was in my 20s. I have a lot more lines around my mouth. I have, like, the dimples are more prominent, whatever, but they've kind of got to a point where they're settling a bit more. And I feel like maybe there is just a point in your late 20s where your face does start to change. But now we've got millennials who are, like, you know, in their 30s. We have a lot more millennials now that are choosing not to have children and are far more well-rested than their millennial counterparts who are parents. And you know what being well-rested does? It makes you look younger. It makes you look fresher. It makes you look more youthful, which is another point I'd like to come back to. Kylie's in Paris. She's probably jet lagged AF. Do you know what my skin looks like when I get off a plane, when I go from the UK to LA? It looks like trash. Honestly, leave the girl alone. So I think it's an interesting discussion that's being had right now. I don't think it's a bad discussion. I think it's actually really interesting, but I think there are some real points that seem to be being forgotten. Yes, maybe it is due to an increase in, like, fillers and things like that within our generation, but I would also say a lot of millennials got fillers. So I don't really think that that is what is causing the difference between Gen Z and millennials. Lifestyle factors really play into it. When you're in your 30s, are you going out every night like you are more commonly in your 20s? No. So you probably are a little bit more well-rested. When you're in your 30s, you start to eat better. So I'm not really surprised that people are feeling this way, but do I think it's completely down to filler and various other procedures being done to your face? No, I actually don't. But do you know what I think is the most ironic out of all of this is we're putting a really negative focus on aging. And do you know what putting a negative focus on aging makes people do? It makes people go and get Botox and filler. Interesting, isn't it? Like, honestly, it's like people are so negative towards people that have had fillers or anything done to their face. But then in the same breath, they'll happily be like, and you look so old. And it's like, pick a lane and stick in it. Because actually what you're doing in ripping into someone about their appearance, about their aging, about anything on their face, is you're making them feel bad about it. And they are more likely to go and then have something done to their face. So either be nice to people about their face if you're going to be anti-cosmetic procedures, or accept the fact that you're probably going to bully someone into having more work done. You cannot have both. And I say that as someone who got lip filler primarily because she was bullied throughout the early stages of her 20s online for having no upper lip. It's a very interesting catch 22. And it's so interesting that in this day and age where everyone's still so much more open and we know so much more, like, I think it's so interesting that we are still in the same cycle of beating people up for how they look, for aging. I just think the system's never going to change if we don't get off that cycle. And I just think it's insane that people can't see that that is what they're contributing to. The long and short of this is be nice to people online, for the love of God.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, that is a tangent that I was not expecting when I set out to do an episode on my Q1 goals. Get you a girl that can do both. Now, you guys, let's talk about my Q1 goals. One thing about me, I love a strategy. I love sitting down and being like, right, where do I want to be? How am I going to get there? And then what I like to do is I break it down into manageable chunks. This is the most effective way for me to do goal setting. Like, it's all very well and good making a load of goals at the beginning of the year, and then you've got this really long list of things that you want to be doing. I don't know about everyone else. I'm just going to speak for myself. For me, I find it so overwhelming. There's something about my brain that just does not do well with a lot of things to be doing at one time. I really can't be one of those people that starts off the year just like going hard and doing everything. So I like to split my goals and my tasks that work towards those goals into four parts of the year. I find it very manageable. And the thing that I also really like about doing quarterly goals is that in addition to your overall goals that you're working towards, you can also add in smaller little goals as well that maybe you hadn't thought of in the beginning, or maybe they're just other things that you need to do. I also am one of those people that really loves like positive reinforcement. I like to be able to tick things off. Like in my calendar every morning, I tick off my walk. It has a green emoji tick next to every single walk that I have done. It brings me joy. And yes, I was one of those children whose mum gave her a star chart as a kid, so it's probably my mother's fault. Just kidding. Love you, mum. So I'm breaking this year down into four, and I'm also doing mini goals too. And some of those goals factor into the bigger picture, like I just said. And some of them are new things that have popped up either because I didn't think about them, or there's been a new opportunity based on something that I've started doing. And I really like the flexibility that gives. I do think sometimes you have to live the year a little before you figure out what it is that you really need to be doing, and before you finalize your goals as well. I like to leave them a little bit loose for the first couple of months. And like I said in episode one, I also like to revisit them half the way through the year. So now we're 1 month in, we've survived January, and we want to start thinking about how to truly be productive queens. Let's think about where we want to be and how we're going to get there and create quarterly goals accordingly. Step one, where do you want to be in the next year or few years? I have actually found that sometimes larger goals take a little bit longer than a year to achieve. So some of my goals are actually overarching into next year, but the groundwork needs to start being done now. So it's good to not just factor in your yearly goals, but sometimes think about where you want to be in the next couple of years as well. So for example, do you want to buy a house? Because that is one that I don't think is super achievable in a year for everyone. And honestly, with house sales, sometimes they take a little bit longer, and I actually just think sometimes it's good to not have a goal that's like, this has to be done this year, because then you get to the end of the year and if it's like not happening but it's going to happen like the next April, you kind of feel a bit disappointed. But actually life just doesn't work that way. Like life doesn't work in exact blocks of 12 months, you know? Maybe you want to be stronger. Maybe it's a certain look that you're going for, or you want to be able to lift a certain weight. I don't know. I'm really not a fitness girly, so I have no examples other than that. But I would break this goal up into quarterly goals. So for example, if you're starting from scratch, like I really feel like I am at the moment, my Q1 goal would be like join the gym and just get used to going. It doesn't have to be super serious, like with a PT 8 times a week doing X, Y, and Z. Like just literally get used to going every day and getting on the treadmill or lifting some mini weights. Like just literally get yourself into the habit, because building something into your routine and into a habit is actually what is going to make that task stick. And having habits stick is what ultimately is going to help you achieve your goals. I feel like there's someone quite famously that said the secret to your goals is hidden in like your habits or something like that. Whatever you need to do, make it a habit and you're way more likely to achieve your goal. But in the next quarter, you can increase your frequency, and then with each quarter, add like new workouts or new types of exercise into your routine. Maybe your thing isn't fitness. Maybe you want to level up at work, or you want a new job. So think about things that you can do each quarter to build on like your expertise and what makes you the perfect candidate for a job, or what will help you really level up and get that promotion. Or maybe, like me, you're planning a wedding. My thoughts are with you. For you girlies, you're going to want to do the following. You're going to want to write down all of your deadlines. So whenever your wedding is, the perfect wedding for this would be a December wedding, obviously. But maybe you're a 2025 bride, so you've got a bit more time. I'm so jealous of you. Speak to all of your suppliers, your venue, your dress designer, or the store that you're getting your dress from, whichever, and find out when everything needs to be done. Make a list of it. and see when everything needs to be completed by. Then what you're going to do, because you want to be really organized and we don't want to be a stressed out bride, you're going to bump the deadline forward slightly. This goes for everything except the bits like the 6-week confirmation of guests. We are doing that at the last dying second because there is always a dropper outer. But split your task list into the 4 quarters of the year and then pop all those deadlines in your calendar. But like I said, pop them in early. Not only will it keep you really organized and stress-free, but it's also just going to make the year so much more manageable. And it also stops things creeping up on you as well. But whatever your quarterly goals are, keep them simple and minimal because they're way less likely to feel overwhelming. And that way you're not going to overwhelm yourself or drop off. Though I will say, some people thrive more when they are just being slapped around the face with new tasks to do and big goals. And they get off on that and thrive on that. And honestly, if you are one of those people, I'm so jealous of you. Carry on being the queen that you are. I love that for you. For me, there is something about my brain that when given a long list of things to do, I freeze. I can do absolutely nothing. I am completely paralyzed and I just turn into a mess and I'm scrambling. So break your goals down, make them simple, make them manageable. You've got this. Also, one thing to remember is that it doesn't matter if you don't do things perfectly. So say, for example, you're like, I want to get into the habit of going on a walk every day or going into the gym every day or 5 times a week or whatever. Say you drop off one day because actually you're not feeling well that day, or you drop off because you had a last minute meeting come up and you're like, actually, I need to prep. I don't have time to go to the gym this morning. One bad day does not equate to the system completely crumbling. Every day is a new day. You are just trying your best. So don't worry if it doesn't go to plan at first. You just got to stick at it, because the more you get into the habit of it, like I said, once it becomes a habit, it's like brushing your teeth. You know, if you don't brush your teeth in the morning, you're like, no, like immediately, like I can't walk around my house in the morning and not brush my teeth. And once these things become a habit, you're going to get the itch to do them literally every single day. If anyone's read James Clear's Atomic Habits, this is actually a theory from his book. And side note, if you want to really get into habit stacking, I highly recommend reading that book. It's honestly one of the best books I've ever read. So don't let it get you down. Sometimes life just gets really chaotic and things just like run away with us for a week, but it doesn't mean that you're failing. And this is one of the best things about quarterly goals, not just monthly goals, quarterly goals, is you can have a bad month and you can still achieve your goals. And I just find it's like the best and easiest way to stick at things. And one of my final tips, but my biggest tip, is to make sure that your quarterly goals that are going to get you to where you want to be are in your diary. Do not just write them on a piece of paper and never look at it again, or like look back at it once a week, but then you're like, oh, I made a list of all of this stuff and I actually haven't done any of it. Because that is what happens when you just write things down on a piece of paper. If you are someone that is surgically attached to your phone, learn to live by your phone calendar. It will change your life. And if you're like me and you hate how boring calendars are on your phone, litter your calendar with emojis. Like every single thing that is put into my diary has a selection of emojis next to it. Like call with my manager, Rosie. There's a lot of cute little floral emojis next to it. Going to the gym, we've got cute gym emojis. Anyway, my point being, put these things in your calendar and learn to live by your calendar, because it has changed my life. My calendar is literally littered with walk every morning. Walk, 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 walk. It's in the calendar. And like I said, I give myself a little green tick emoji next to it every time I do it. And it's so satisfying, because when I look at my calendar over the course of a month, I can see all of the little green emojis building up, and it's so satisfying and it really keeps me going. Maybe you're trying to save money and you want to make some extra money. Set aside days in your calendar for doing like Depop, Vinted, whatever. Maybe you want to take a course to up your qualifications and get that job you want. Get it booked in and get it in your diary. So those are my tips for helping you achieve your Q1 goals. Q1, probably the hardest in my opinion, because you're getting into the routine. And like I said, making something a habit is the most important thing, but it's also the hardest. Once things are habits, it's much easier to build on top of. You've got this. I believe in you and I hope you all smash it. Just in case you need a little inspo, I'm going to talk you through my goals now for Q1 and how I'm going to reach them. If you've listened to episode 1, which has an extensive list of some of my goals for the year, some of these will be no surprise. But 1, good mental health. So in Q1, we are continuing to hibernate where needed, because in my opinion, winter is not for forcing yourself to join the 5 a.m. running club, or suddenly going from being a couch potato to going to the gym and lifting a ridiculous amount of weight. If you love doing it, I rate that for you. Carry on. It's stunning. As we've already established, I can't do that. To me, winter is for planting seeds that will bear fruit in spring, summertime. We're prepping for the year, but we are also still hibernating where needed. We're being kind to ourselves. We're easing into the year slowly because it's dark. It's horrible. I don't believe our body clocks are made to be getting up at 5 in the morning when it doesn't get light until like 8 a.m. It's just not for me. I don't personally believe it's great for me and my mental health. So it's not something I am subscribing to. But anyway, when I say hibernate, I don't just necessarily mean sleeping all the time. I wish. For me, the hibernating means being home more, being more chilled, and just taking a slightly slower pace. My second goal for the year is to get my body back to a point where it's strong and healthy, because post-COVID, it's really not. I actually think I can count on one hand the amount of times I worked out last year. It's really bad. I'm actually having a lot of shoulder problems because I have no body strength. Yes, I walk every day and it does count as a workout, and my fitness in that sense is probably very good. However, physical strength, zero. Like, worst it's been, I would say, throughout my entire 20s. So we really need to start building that back up. However, I did not want to be one of those people that got straight into 2024 and was like, I need to be in the gym every day. I need to be lifting weights again. I need to be doing X, Y, and Z. No. My goal for Q1 is to just get back in the gym and not go at it super hard. It is literally just to get into the routine of going to the gym once, maybe twice a week, and doing some kind of weightlifting, but not massively heavy. Like, I will be there with my tiny weenie dumbbells, just really building up some base strength. And that is fine. We've all got to start somewhere. And to be honest, I don't want to go in hard. I don't want my body to be in extreme pain the mornings after I've been to the gym. It doesn't help me in my daily life. I find it quite a hindrance to be in that much pain. It's not for me. So rather than going in hard and seeing results, I would say probably much quicker, I would rather do this very, very slowly, but make it very sustainable. Because if I don't drop off by the end of the year, I will be at a really great point with my body strength and I'll be really happy with how things are going, but I won't have put myself through a lot of strain and a lot of inconvenience in the process. Also, a spoiler for Q2, but I have decided that in Q2, once the weather starts to get a bit nicer, I will also be adding in a small jog when things get warmer and I'm not wearing a giant coat, because I ran for the train the other day and I genuinely thought I was going to die. Okay, my next goal for Q1 is a lot more fun. Finalize my bachelorette party details and get my outfit sorted. So my bachelorette isn't in Q1. However, I want to get it sorted in Q1 because the month before my bachelorette, I don't want to be stressing over the finer details. I'd like to have a lot more of my outfit sorted. I'd like to be prepped because it's going to be a busy month that month. So I really want to be ready. And I also get very busy during the summer months. So I just want to make sure everything is as stress-free as possible. On that note, my next goal is to organize my freaking UK wedding. I want to get as much of the legal aspect of this wedding sorted in the next few months as physically possible, because I just want to be able to like enjoy the rest of the year and be a chilled out, calm bride. It's probably still going to happen anyway, but I do not want to be a stressed out bridezilla. I really don't want to feed into that stereotype, especially being the dramatic gal that I am. I want to be the most chilled out bride. Getting married is something that I've looked forward to for the longest time. I can't lie, I've been one of those little girls that's been dreaming about her wedding forever. I just really want to enjoy this time. It's something that I hopefully will never ever do again, and I just want to soak it all in and enjoy it as much as possible. And to me, that means getting the boring ass legal aspect of this done and dusted. My next goal, save some money, which I am doing a phenomenally bad job at. But like I said, it's a long quarter. It's fine. We live to fight another day. But with saving money, what I always say is make a strategy on how you're going to get there. Don't just say, I want to save money, because actually that doesn't happen without effort. So for me, I am like, right, how am I going to save money? How do I plan on doing this? So for me, that means shopping less, drinking less, because alcohol is quite expensive, and dining out less in Q1. So I'm just having a lot more things at home when I want to socialize. The dining out less and the drinking less, very achievable for me. The shopping, I mean, I just have a problem. Next up, finish getting my house together. This house is eating up my time so much. There is so much to do. It's constantly ongoing. It feels never ending. And it really is eating into a lot of my personal time, which is fine. I'm hibernating, as we've already established, but I do not want this continuing into the warmer months of the year where I want to be outside in the world, getting vitamin D, living life. I want to be carefree this summer. That's my goal, to be carefree this summer. So this house needs to be in order by spring. I am going to be running a tight ship. Like, I will be doing so much home organizing. There's actually already a video live on YouTube of me organizing my house. So go and watch that if that is your vibe. And my final goal is literally what I'm doing right now: release a new podcast episode every week of Q1. So I personally would like for season 2 to be even longer and better than season 1. So that is my goal. I'm hoping that the weekly podcasting continues well into Q2. We'll see how we go. But if you are enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please share it. Share it on your stories, like you guys are sharing it whilst you're on your hot girl walks. And it brings me so much joy every morning. I wake up and someone's sharing it whilst they're either on their walk or on their commute to work, and I'm just honestly obsessed. Thank you so much to everyone that has done that so far. It just brings a lot of joy to my day and I really appreciate it. If you want to give it a rating, that would be stunning. And if you want to leave a review, that would be amazing. A nice review specifically, because I actually don't look at the reviews because someone once said something mean and I saw it, and so I haven't ever looked again. But it would be so nice if we could just have an outpouring of positivity so that I could actually look at the reviews again in the future. That would be so nice. And not only are all of these things great for the podcast, but they're also great for my motivation and keeping me going. So if you are enjoying it, please do just do one. You don't have to do all of them. Who has the time? And to those of you who share, subscribe, give it a rating, thank you so much. I love you so much. And to those of you who just listen and tune in, I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for listening. I love you all so much. This is where I'm going to leave this podcast for today. I hope you're all having an amazing day and you're ready to be goal setting queens. Love you. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.